understand what it was like to grow up with my father. Inan bore the brunt of his torture.
You empathize with him?
Mama Agba asks. I understand him. All he's ever wanted was to be a great king. Even when he's wrong, he thinks he's fighting for the right thing. I pick at the moss under my arm and sigh. I know if we talk, we can reach an agreement. We both want what's best for Orisha. It's Zeli and the Iyika who refuse to listen. Mama Agba purses her lips and I bite my tongue. I've gone too far, I ask.
I do not think you've gone far enough, she says. You speak of this war as if it is the start. But the Magi and the monarchy have been fighting for decades, centuries. Both sides have inflicted great pain upon each other. Both sides are filled with mistrust.
Mama Agba runs her fingers along her wooden staff and closes her eyes.
You cannot blame Zeli for her actions, any more than you can blame Inan for his past mistakes. You have to look beyond the surface if you truly want to achieve the peace you seek.
I nod slowly, meditating on Mama Agba's words. Though my anger toward Zeli fades, my desire to get into the dreamscape only grows. If the monarchy and the Magi have been at war for centuries, this could be our only chance to end this fight for good. But how can I broker peace between both sides when every attempt I make gets struck down?
Do you know the meaning of your name?
Mama Agba asks. My name doesn't mean anything.
Every name means something, child. Yours means possesses great strength.
Mama Agba smiles, the skin crinkling at the corner of her large eyes.
A few moons ago, you were a scared princess on the run. Now, you're an elder leading the Magi through war, a queen poised to take her throne.
Her words force me to think of everything I've done, how far I've truly come. I thought victory would only be achieved once I sat on Orisha's throne. But I suppose there is another victory in what I've already become.
This all started the moment you stole that scroll. It was your courageous actions that brought us here at all. I know it's difficult, but give it time. If anyone can bring about peace, I know it is you.
She cups my chin and looks at me with such a warmth, I can't help but smile. I don't know when it happened or why, but I feel genuine love in her eyes. Thank you, I whisper.
Thank you is unnecessary. She pulls me into a hug. Your courage has given so much back to me. I am as grateful to you as I am to Zeli.
She rises to her feet and I move to join her, but she sits me back down.
When I was younger, this was the best place in the sanctuary for me to explore the extent of my powers.
It may help you too. But I don't have an incantation. I scrunch my brows. Zeli destroyed it.
You're a center, Amari. For better or worse, you're not bound by incantations. You share a special connection with your brother. Clear your mind and focus on that.
I smile as she walks off. Her advice lifts a weight from my shoulder that I should have never tried to carry at all. I'm not a Magi, and I never will be. I need to stop playing by their rules, their incantations, their restrictions. They don't apply to me. I stare at my hands, remembering the thrill that ran through me when I summoned my center powers and took Mother down in Shendomble's halls. That moment was the best I've felt in moons, the most I've felt like myself. My skin stings as I call on my power, focusing on my core.
Though no titans are around to fuel my magic, I can feel it swelling from a different source. Come on, Inan. I think of him as a faint blue light ignites in my chest. I need you now more than ever. We're the only ones who can end this. As sunset turns to night, I settle on the bench, reaching for my brother in the dark. I don't know if this will work, but I won't give up. I'll stay here for an eternity if it means I can finally end this war. Chapter 46. Inan.
Though I grab the polished table of the war room, the world keeps slipping away. The advisors' faces blur around me. Mother's whispers drown under the ringing in my ears. Reality slips from my hands like a dream coming to an end. I attempt to keep the confusion from my face as I hear the voice again.
Inan. Pay attention, Mother nudges me, forcing me to sit up straight.
I blink as I focus on Jokoye's presentation, a report of all her progress. Though she's never been one for smiles, a new venom has seeped into her words since our return from Chendomble. She still struggles to move around the room with the iron brace around her leg.
I've been training my titans, Jokoye says. All day, all night. The next time we face the Iyika, we'll be ready for their games. We'll annihilate those traitors where they stand.
She speaks the words I need to hear, yet they make my fingers cold. Every day we get closer to the bloodbath I desperately want to avoid. Have you located their base? I ask.
We're getting closer.
Jokoye marks a new oval on the map, zeroing in on the Iyika's supposed location.
We tend to lose contact with our scouts once they enter this zone. But as we speak, my soldiers are finding new ways to scour the location. Our forces in Orong have been training a few Titan seers. When they have better control over their abilities, they may be able to give us the answers we need.
Once they do, I rub my thumb over the chitina engraved onto the bronze piece. There'll be no delaying Jokoye's forces. We'll throw everything we have at the attack. Continue training your titans and bolstering Lagos's defenses, I command. Notify me immediately if there's any more information on their location. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Everyone rises, bowing before they exit through the door. Mother puts a hand on my shoulder.
Get some rest, she whispers. You look awful.
I nod, placing my hand over her own. Even as we speak, the world starts to blur again. That strange voice tickles my ear.
Inan, I need you.
My lids start to close when Mother walks away, but then I feel a new presence at my back.
She's right, the presence speaks. You look like dung.
My body tenses at Ojore's dig. We haven't been alone since we returned from Chendomble, since I stopped him from attacking Zeli with my blade. I even sent him to oversee a special construction effort on Ilorin's coast, just to avoid this conversation. I thought I had a few more days until his return. I still don't know what to say.
You're back. I lift my hands. I am. Ojore nods. Your soldiers are hard at work. Construction should be complete by moon's end.
That's good to hear. I turn back to the table, sifting through the endless parchments.
There's another effort that needs your attention up north. Are you going to send me all over Orisha before you're man enough to talk?
My cheeks burn and I clench the scroll in my hand. I don't know how to respond. Ojore closes the war room doors before sinking into the seat beside me.
Did you really think you could avoid facing me?
He tilts his head.
All this time I thought you were hesitating because of your sister. Family, I can understand. But a Magi? The soldier of death?
I wrap my fingers around the bronze piece, wishing I had a good answer. How can I explain something to him that I barely understand myself? Even as he speaks Zaylee's terrifying title, I long for the scent of her soul. She could have killed me in that moment, but she didn't. She held back, despite all I've done. Before magic came back, that girl was in my way, I explain. I wanted to kill her. I tried. But when I got the chance, my chest falls as I recall that fateful moment in the forest after our siblings were taken. When my magic surged beyond my control, I saw every part of Zaylee. I still remember the bitter taste of her terror, the warmth in her soul. She taught me that there are more sides to every story, I say. She made me want to be a better king. Ojore and I lock eyes and I feel the growing distance between us. Staring at the scars on his neck, I know he won't understand. He wasn't taught to fear the Magi like me. They burned him themselves. He presses a fist to his lips as we stare at the war room map. But as we sit, the low ringing builds in my ears again. I grip the table when the world around me starts to blur.
I know you're not your father, Ojore sighs. I respect that you're trying to be a better man. But not everyone can be saved. You have to stop looking at these Magi like they're the ones who need protecting.
I reach into my pocket and squeeze the bronze piece.
You sound like mother. Well, like your mother, I have a vested interest in keeping you alive, he says. On the battlefield, Amari's not your sister. This girl isn't someone you can love.
Ojore rises from his seat and pats me on the back. They're your enemies, Inan.
They're the soldiers on the other side of this war. When we face them, blood will spill. Don't let it be yours.
He closes the door behind him and I rest my head on the table. I don't want him to be right, but he speaks the words I'm too afraid to speak myself. For a moment, I long for the days of being a prince, before magic, before the throne. I may not have had power then, but things were simple. Now I fear those days will never return.
Inan.
The voice tickles my ear, louder now that no one else is here. The bronze piece falls from my palm as my fingers go limp. Sleep wraps its hands around me, pulling me into its blackness. When it hits, a cool breath of magic passes over my skin. The world swirls around me as clouds of white float in. It feels like I hang suspended in space, feet searching for ground that doesn't exist. But when I finally find it, I don't believe my eyes. An endless field of blue lilies brushes against my skin.
Chapter 47. Amari.
Brother? I yearn to say more, but the words don't come out. I've spent so long trying to get to this moment. I didn't think about what would happen once I was actually here. With the rough beginnings of a beard around his jaw and the heavy bags under his eyes, my brother looks far older than his 19 years. If it weren't for the streak of white running through his unruly curls, I might even think he looked like father.
Yours is different.
He blinks at me, a half smile rising to his tired face. His eyes fall closed as he breathes in my dreamscape, tasting the cinnamon-scented air. He forces me to take in the world around us,
the magical space of my creation. A sea of deep blue flowers lie at our feet. A star-filled sky twinkles above. Though I've never set foot in this space, somehow it feels like returning to myself. In here, the air is sweet. The light shines brightly, though there isn't a moon. Inan bends down, smelling a flower before the half-smile falls from his face.
Did you bring me here to kill me, or do you want to talk?
He keeps a joke in his tone, but I see the way his fingers tremble, the way he expects everything and everyone to hurt him. He carries the same scars I fight to live above. My eyes water as I take a step toward him. I break into a run when Inan opens up his arms. I think of how much I've missed him, how much I've wanted to hold him tight. Everything that's passed between us flashes behind my eyes as I run. I see every way we've been hurt, every face that we have lost. Binta, Admiral Kaya, father, but worst of all, each other. The moment I place my head against his chest, I don't know who weeps harder, me or him. By the time our tears dry, it's difficult to tell how long it's been. Even pain is different in this magical space. It doesn't hurt to cry. We settle into soft mounds of dirt, picking at the flowers at our feet. So much passes between us, but none of it needs words. Are there flowers in yours? I ask. Inan shakes his head.
Just reeds.
He holds a lily in front of his nose, plucking its petals off.
Zeli found a way to make forests and waterfalls, but I don't know how to do more. I can't even get back into mine. Every time I try, it feels like someone's driving an axe into my brain.
I'm surprised at the smile that rises to his lips. Even after all that's passed, she brings out a different side of him.
How is she?
I roll my eyes and look away. She's determined to kill you, completely blinded by rage.
Believe me, I know.
Inan peels up the hem of his shirt, allowing me to see the new scar across his side.
But when she's not out for my blood, how is she? How does she feel?
I wrinkle my nose, attempting to see Zeli through another lens. We've been at each other's throats for so long. I miss looking at her as my friend. She has her clan now, I speak slowly. Not many reapers, but enough. Taking care of them makes her happy. They actually make her laugh.
That's good.
Inan sinks into the flowers, a softness filling his amber eyes.
She deserves to be happy.
You say that like we don't.
We're royalty, he snorts. We suffer so everyone else can smile.
I hug my knees to my chest, hating the words he speaks. I'm tired of suffering because the people of this kingdom refuse to believe in peace. I know there's a world where we can make this work, an Orisha where Magi, Titans, and Kosida can live as one. I still see the Orisha of my dreams, even if reality only gives me nightmares. They're training to annihilate you. I exhale a deep breath. I keep trying to convince the Iyika that peace can work, but they don't trust the monarchy. They want to put Zeli on the throne.
Zeli?
Inan shoots up, brows knitting together. They call her the Soldier of Death. To them, she's a living legend. But if that happens, my voice trails as my chest grows tight. I want to believe that Zeli would do the right thing, but after all that's happened since magic came back, that feels naive. She has no interest in unification, only annihilation.
What are they after?
Inan asks.
What do they need to end the fighting?
Power.
I picture the elders' faces. True freedom. They want an end to the torture and the baseless persecution. A real place in this monarchy and a say in what happens in this kingdom. Inan inhales, chest seeming to expand with each demand. He rubs his fingers together as he considers my words.
That's it?
I shrug. More or less.
All right.
He nods.
How do I give that to them?
I grab onto his arm, eyes nearly bulging out of my head. You're serious?
If that's what it takes to end this war, he says, I want those things myself.
I knew it! I clap my hands together. Excitement floats like a balloon in my chest, but as soon as it rises, reality dawns. This still isn't enough.
What's wrong?
Inan asks when my shoulders slump. It doesn't matter that we want the same things. The Iyika will never trust that your declaration is real. I shake my head. As soon as they hear that I've talked to you against their orders, they'll be too enraged to listen to what I have to say. Inan rubs his fingers together, brows creasing as he thinks.
What if they don't hear it from you? He asks. What if they hear it from me themselves? I could draw up a treaty, present it to their leaders.
My heart skips a beat as I realize the sincerity of his words. If the king himself offered a treaty like this, even Zeli would have to listen. You'd have to come alone. I tread with care.
I don't have a choice. After what happened at Chendomble, the royal council would have me executed before they ever agreed to this.
But how would you get out of the palace? I ask.
Ojori will cover for me if he knows I'm going to meet with you.
Inan holds out his hand and a tightness fills my chest. This is everything I wanted, the peace I knew we could get. But as I stare at the lines along my brother's palm, Zaylee's voice bleeds into my mind.
He'll do the right thing when it's easy, but when it matters most, he'll stab you in the back. You can't trust him, Amari. All he leaves us with are scars.
What will happen to me? I look up at him. When you are gone, I prepared to be queen. What comes after peace? Inan sets down his hand, considering my words.
Mother is a fierce ally, but she's tainted by the past. Orisha needs a queen who's willing to do whatever it takes to make amends.
My fingers fall limp as Inan opens his arms, extending the invitation. You mean it? I ask.
We'll rule the kingdom together, he says, the way we should have from the start.
The weight of the world falls off my shoulders as I lunge forward, wrapping my arms around my brother. My heart swells to see him this way. I always knew he could be a magnificent king. But as he hugs me back, a prickle erupts along my scars. I pray Zeli allows him to breathe long enough for us to bring Orisha the peace we both desire. Chapter 48. Zeli. When the sun climbs onto the horizon, none of my reapers speak. We watch from a cliff as it sets the sky ablaze, warm rays spilling over the hilly terrain outside the sanctuary. It lights the blankets of fog seeping through the mammoth trees, revealing the baboonums that swing through the jungle leaves. I study the path I want to take as the sun's rays reach our finish line. Over there! I point to the hill where Amari and I first trained. First one to the top wins. That'll be me! Mari rubs her hands together. Everyone else stay out of my way! I smile at her resolve. The hill lies almost 3 kilometers outside the sanctuary's mountain walls. This will be our greatest distance yet. After a half moon of training, it's the perfect way to test their mastery over our new incantations. When I win, can I be your second? Mari asks.
Behind me, Mazili crosses his arms. Though he's gaining control over the incantation, he has yet to master the wings. Whoever wins gets to brag till the end of time, I offer instead. These are the first Reaper races. Oya herself will sing the winner's praises.
All three of their faces light up, and a flutter fills my heart. I remember looking at Mama Agba the same way when she would tell us stories of the gods. I wait as they take position, prepping to recite the incantation. Bimpe cracks her knuckles. Mazeli shakes out his leg. Be safe. I lift my hands. 3, 2, 1! Mari shouts. She takes off in a sprint, afro puffs, bouncing as she runs. The others scramble after her as she leaps from the cliff.
Emioku! Baye ninumi!
Mari's shadows shoot from her hands, weaving together to form a glider at her back. The wine-colored shadows shift with the changing currents, allowing her to surf the wind. Her laughter rings as she slips into the lead, nearing the grassy hill. But a strong gust of wind blows her off course. I have to navigate the flow myself as I take off.
Jade ninu awon ojiji re. Yi pada lati owo mi.
Below, Bimpe takes a different approach. Her shadows billow behind her in a large sheet, trapping the wind like the sails of a boat as she floats to the ground. When she nears the gushing river along the trail, she recites the incantation. The spirits of death dissipate in puffs of smoke, transforming to form a board under her feet.
Take that, Mari!
Bimpe beams as she surfs the thrashing currents with her wiry frame. Her waist-length braids bounce against her dark skin as the shadows propel her through the water. Incredible. I bring my shadows in, drawing closer to the trees to follow her path. I don't think anyone will beat her until I hear Mazeli shout,
Yipada lati owo mi!
He passes below, a blur arcing beneath the trees. His lavender shadows are still too weak to maintain their form, but he uses that weakness to his advantage. As soon as the shadows release, he casts again, molding the spirits into another rope. They wrap around the next branch and Mazeli pulls, allowing him to shoot forward.
Keep going!
I shout from above, eyes wide at the sight. Mazeli swings from shadow to shadow like a gorillion, swinging through jungle vines. The way he moves steals the rest of my words. I never thought to use the shadows of death that way. When he lands on top of the hill, a swell of pride hits me from within.
I did it! He punches up his arms. I'm the greatest reaper to ever live!
Not fair, Mari lands after him. I thought we had to fly. My shadows dissipate as I touch onto the grassy hill. I never said that. Mazeli stalks around the mountain with his hands on his hips and his chest raised.
I am the new soldier of death. No, call me its master.
You are no master, Mari huffs. I laugh as they bicker, wishing I could share their joy. At first I think of telling Zane, but Rowan sneaks his way into my mind. I can only imagine the trouble he'd get Mazeli into once he saw how he could move. He'd probably try to induct the poor boy into his mercenary crew. I'd smile at the thought as I turn to greet Bimpe, hugging her as she climbs the hill. But when I near the slope, I spot a white streak moving below. Amari's lithe form passes between two large hills in the distance, seemingly unaware of our presence. She doesn't move like she's taking a stroll. She moves like she doesn't want to be seen.
Lead the others back. I squeeze Mazeli's shoulder. I want to check something out.
Is everything all right?
He asks, and I nod. I'll meet you back at the temple. He bows before turning to the others, and I jump from the ledge, By now the shadows of death are second nature. I don't need to speak the incantation as they wrap around my arms, allowing me to glide to the ground. What are you doing? I tell Amari, lifting up a thick web of vines to follow her path. We haven't spoken since I destroyed her scroll in the natural baths. According to Zane, she actually expects me to apologize. She must be making a run for Lagos. I pinch my lips together, holding back my fist. I could knock out her teeth for this. What's it going to take for her to realize the monarchy will never accept her bid for peace? Amari, stop! I break forward, following her into a jungle clearing. She freezes at the sound of my voice. I grab her shoulder and whip her around. Where do you think you're going? The color drains from her cheeks, but she doesn't speak. It's only then that I see the second streak of white, waiting in the trees. Chapter 49. Zeli. For a long moment, shock steals my words. I don't know how to process what's before me, what it means for my clan, for the Iyika. But when the shock fades, my body shakes with a hatred that reaches new depths. Magic bites at my skin as I throw up my hand. Give me one reason I shouldn't kill you both. Zeli, no. Amari throws herself in front of Inan, nostrils flared. But the sight of her only makes my magic surge. I aim my other hand at her chest. How could you betray us like this? I yell, scanning the trees for more soldiers in golden armor. No need to search. Inan steps out of his sister's protection. I came alone. Like hell you did. Being this close to him makes me feel like glass. My fingers tremble as I try to keep my hands steady. I don't know which incantation I should unleash. Hearing his voice, seeing his face, it makes my chest ache. It takes me back to the dreamscape, to the feel of his hands around my back. I remember every promise he made, every lie he told. I feel every time he held my heart, only to crush it in his hands. Zeli, please, Amari begs. Inan came here to offer a treaty to the council. He's prepared to give you and the Iyika everything you want. His offers mean nothing. I bare my teeth. The Magi won't be free until every member of the royal family lies in the ground. Including me? Amari yells. I am the daughter of King Saran, the daughter of Queen Nahanda. I am part of the same family, yet you've trusted me to fight for your people. Why can't you trust that I'm doing that now? After this, I don't trust you at all. I charge forward, making them stumble back. Shadows of death begin to build around me, wisps of smoke waiting for my command. I want to tear into them. I want to see their bodies crumble to ash. I can't believe after everything, Amari would do this. That she would put all my people at risk. Do you honestly think a battle at Lagos's gates is going to be enough to tear down the monarchy? Amari asks. Even if you win, think of your reapers. Think of how many will die. Don't you bring them into this. My voice shakes as the shadows condense, but Amari raises her own hands. Blue light sparks at her fingertips. Her silent threat is an arrow to my chest. A chain wrapping around my neck. I taught her how to use her magic. Now she wields it against me. I'm fighting for you now, Amari whispers. I'm fighting for Mazeli and Mari and Bimpe. Even if you can't see it. I clench my teeth as Inan takes a step toward me. Move in, though Amari tries to keep herself between us. But Inan doesn't let her act as a guard. He approaches me, despite how my shadows froth and hiss at my back.
You keep acting like you don't know me, he speaks up, like you don't know my heart. But I know you do, Zeli. I know, because I still know you. The louder you scream, the more you fight, the more I see you haven't changed.
He shakes his head.
You're still that little girl, terrified that the king is going to take away everything you love.
The same terror he speaks of bubbles to the surface, but now it's so much worse. Back then, Zane and Baba were all that I had left, all I thought I would ever have in this world. But now I have Mazeli and my reapers, Mama Agba and the clans. If I lose them now, I won't survive. I won't be able to stitch the pieces of my heart together again.
You know me. Inan's voice drops to a whisper. You know this is real. I want to keep every promise I made you, Zel. I want to build a kingdom where you laugh every day. A land where you feel safe.
A slight quiver rocks his chin as he closes the distance between us, not stopping until my palm rests against his chest. His life lies in my hand, yet he still looks at me like I'm the only girl in Orisha. Like I'm the only girl in the world. Tears prick at my eyes. But I don't let them fall. I can't, when I know the cost of letting him into my heart. Giving in will only lead to more scars.
We've already done this dance, I breathe.
You've already promised me a new Orisha.
I wasn't the king before. He lifts his hands. This time, I have the power to keep my word.
Pretty lies. I close my eyes. Pretty lies.
I believed them once. Then Baba paid the price.
He's drawn up a treaty.
Amari steps forward with raised hands.
One that gives you everything you want. This is how you can be free. How you protect every person you love.
I look back and forth between their amber eyes. I hate the part of me that wants to lower my hands. The part of me desperate to believe there could be an end to this endless fight.
Moons ago, it was you and Amari asking me to see reason when I was filled with hatred and doubt.
Inan closes his eyes.
Think of all the lives we could have saved if I had been the leader I needed to be then. Think of how many Magi you can save by being that leader now.
His words bring me back in time. I know the moment he speaks of, right before Amari and Zane were taken. Before we found Zuleika and the Diviner settlement.
It's not fair to ask you to trust me, Inan says. Not after all I've done, all you've lost. But if you really want to protect your clan, why not choose peace? Why not choose the only monarchs in Orisha who will give you what you want?
My chest rises and falls in the echo of his words. I think of Mazeli's triumphant smile, the hunger in Mari's eyes. I imagine all the other reapers I don't even know outside the sanctuary walls, just waiting to be a part of the clan again.
Please,
Amari lowers her hands. At least allow the elders to read his treaty. That's all I ask. I look back at Inan, to my hand against his chest. His heartbeat reverberates through my bones, and I remember the times when that same pulse used to remind me of the tides, of safety, of home. I exhale a deep breath and close my eyes, lowering my hands. The tears I've been holding inside break free as I step back.
You're doing the right thing.
Amari moves to embrace me. But I hold up my hand. I'm not letting either one of you past me until I see that treaty. Inan's mouth falls slack, but he nods, reaching into the leather pack on his back. As he pulls out the parchment, something lifts in my chest. For so long, I've wanted to fight, to make him pay for everything he's done. But somehow giving in feels right. Every chain around my heart starts to lift. If this peace is real, if it allows me and my reapers to be free, gods, that would be everything.
Here.
Inan hands me the parchment and I start to read. I feel him and Amari holding their breath as I comb over the words.
It won't be enough to convince the others, I say, but it'll be enough to bring you to the tip.
A horn blares, catching me off guard. I whip around as it rises in pitch, ringing from the direction of the sanctuary.
What's that?
Amari turns around and Inan's brows crease.
I don't know.
His voice trails off.
I swear, I came alone.
Shadows extend from my arm. Weaving around a branch above me, I let them raise me up through the trees, up through the canopy. I pray the alarm isn't what I fear. But as I rise, I see it. The black and gold of Nehanda's seal. Over 100 velvet banners flutter in the jungle winds, marking an endless line of military caravans. An ice I haven't felt since the night of the raid chills me from my core. The enemy's at our gates. The war has come to us.
Chapter 50. Amari.
You monster!
Zaylee shrieks as she unwinds her shadows and descends back to the ground. She lunges with her staff for Inan, but stops when the Iyika siren blares again. Her face falls as she turns around. She flees through the trees. When she disappears, I collapse to my knees. After saving his life, after fighting father on his behalf, after all the time I've spent pleading with Zaylee to trust him, tears burn my eyes as I curl into myself. I can't believe he did this to me, to Zaylee.
Amari, I swear.
Inan reaches out.
This wasn't a part of my plan.
His voice blacks in and out. I can't hear him over the sounds of war. Hundreds of creaking wagons speed toward us. A sea of velvet seals flap in the wind. I brought Inan here to make peace with the Magi. Instead, he brought our demise.
You have to believe me,
Inan's voice shakes.
Only Ojore knew. He promised he wouldn't tell.
He'll do the right thing when it's easy, but when it matters most, he'll stab you in the back. You can't trust him, Amari. All he leaves us with are scars.
Zaylee's words return, destroying me from within. I wanted her to be wrong. I thought Inan was the one person in the world I could trust. The only other person who shared the vision of a united Orisha. But there's no denying it now. No lie he can't tell. He's truly father's son. He's been a monster all along.
I'll call it off,
Inan shouts over the blaring siren. Just give me a chance. But staring at him is like staring into a void. I feel myself slipping away, losing the person I want to be to the person my family's forced me to become. Inan and mother are just like father. Orisha won't be free of their tyranny until they both lie in the dirt.
Amari!
Inan's eyes bulge when I open my palm. His heartbeat pulses through my ears.
It vibrates through my bones. Blue wisps of magic leach from his skin as I suck the ashe from his veins. His slowing pulse reverberates through my chest. It would take nothing for me to stop it for good. To drain every essence of his life and never look back.
Strike, Amari!
My breath hitches as Father's voice fills my head. I think of standing across from Inan in the palace cellar. All those years ago, I held back and I got hurt. I always get hurt. Titan soldiers appear on the hilltop above, running through the jungle trees. I count almost 3 dozen among the first wave. More caravans pulled by Pantheners ride in behind them. But the closer they get, the more heartbeats bleed into my ears. I feel the ashe of other connector titans, like the rising heat of a flame. My power builds as I start to pull the life force from their veins too. We're done! I reach forward, putting my hand over my brother's chest. More magic feeds into my hands, charging me up as the first wave of titans descend down the hill. You're not my brother anymore, I speak through my teeth. You're dead to me. Tears stream down my face as I throw his shaking body to the ground. The ashe of other titans rumbles within me as I lift my hands. When the first soldiers attack, my heartbreak strikes them in an endless blue wave.
Chapter 51. Zeli. How could he? I hate myself for even asking the question. Twigs and vines scrape my skin as I sprint back to the sanctuary. My throat burns with hoarse breaths. I think of the look in Inan's eyes, the tenderness embedded in his words. He's gotten so good. It's as if he believed his lies himself. And Amari, I can't deal with her betrayal now. Even as I run, the rumbling caravans gain ground. 3 dozen soldiers ride in on Pantheners. Though they're still a kilometer out from the mountain barricading the sanctuary, I can't let the military get close. If Nahanda's with them, she'll bring the entire mountain down. The sanctuary and the Iyika will be buried in the rubble.
Jagun, Jagun!
Mazeli calls out to me from the line of reapers that stand half a kilometer from the sanctuary. As I charge closer, I can see the terror shining through their brown eyes. For their sake, I try to look calm.
What do we do? Bimpe asks. No one from the sanctuary has made it out yet.
I want to tell them to run, but we can't just protect ourselves. All the elders are still behind that mountain. Right now, we're all the Iyika have.
Mari, summon the elders. I command. We need every Magi who can fight to mount our defense.
Bimpe and Mazeli, stay close. I point to my reapers as Mari disappears through the trees. It's up to us to fend off the first wave. I don't know where my calm comes from, but I don't question its source. Mari and Bimpe fall in line as we turn back, facing the scourge of charging soldiers. Dozens of them wear golden armor, the ashe of their different powers blazing around their gauntlets. I see the reds of their burners, the oranges of their cancers. I even see titans who glow with reaper lavenders.
Focus!
I shout when we enter the caravan's path.
Everyone, suckle up! Prepare to unleash the shadows of death!
Oya, Bowon, I pray under my breath. Protect them. My jaw clenches as we spread out along the dirt trail, 3 reapers strong. I close my eyes and breathe deep, sensing when my reapers do the same.
Emioku, baaye ninu mi, jadi ninu awon ojijire.
My body warms as the shadows swirl around me, twisting like ribbons of light.
Different spirits circle my reapers when they follow suit, their ashe fusing with mine.
Yipada la ti owo mi.
Our shadows bleed together like mixing paints. Deep purples turning black with raw power. Our voices rise as the shadows take shape, condensing until they funnel into one giant arrowhead. With the final words of our incantation, we unleash our attack. The arrowhead shoots forward, a rush of wind blowing around us as it twists through the air.
Look out!
A titan shouts. Time seems to slow as the caravan speeds toward us. Sound muffles to a low hum. The first wagon skids to avoid the attack, sliding off the dirt trail as our shadows swarm. But the soldiers crouched inside don't stand a chance. The moment they meet our shadows of death, they crumble into ash. I hear the beginning of screams, but the cries of agony wither into nothing. Our shadows cut through their path, taking out three transports in one blow.
Zeli, look!
Mazeli points behind us as more Magi run into the fight. The sight of them spurs me on. Together, we can defend the sanctuary. Though my chest heaves up and down, I charge down the warpath.
Come on!
I shout at my reapers.
Let's do it again!
Chapter 52. Inan.
Stop the attack!
Though I shout, my voice is little more than a hoarse whisper. My head spins from Amari's attack. I can barely stand. As I stumble through the jungle, the world around me descends into a battlefield. Magi flee from their base in droves as my forces continue their attack.
Wipe the rebels out!
A lieutenant shouts, sending another line of wagons speeding down the dead trail. A burly Magi with a metal leg slaps his hands to the ground. Other Magi in matching green armor follow his lead.
Odia won Orisha!
Their magic seeps into the earth. Towering walls of dirt shoot into the air, hardening into stone. The wagons try to skid out of the way, but they're not fast enough. Wood and metal fly as the transports crash and explode. Skies! I take cover, bracing myself against a tree. Magicite gas leaks into the air, but a twisting cyclone from the Iyika's Magi blows it all back. Though my soldiers lead the charge, the Magi overpower their every maneuver. This isn't working. Whoever mounted this attack is losing.
Inan!
Ojore's voice is a lifeline and a curse. He runs to me through the madness, wrapping my arm around his shoulder. Troops cover our tracks as a tamer runs forward, a large girl with sunflowers in her curls. Clouds of pink magic fly from her hands, turning our riders rabid. Soldiers scream as they are flung from their panthers' backs. The riders foam at the mouth. I look away when a rabid panther sinks its fangs into its soldier's throat.
How could you do this?
I shout.
I gave you a command. I didn't have a choice.
Ojore pulls me forward.
I couldn't lie to your mother. Mother ordered this?
My hands fall limp as realization takes hold.
She said Amari would kill you the moment you met. She ordered us to save you from this trap.
Boom!
One of our wagons collides with a blinding gust of fire. The force of the blast knocks us to the ground.
Get the king to safety,
Ojore orders, as another round of soldiers descends. A titan lifts me onto a rider, steering me away from the battle. As we ride away from the front, I want to scream to call off the attack, but I know I can't now that the battle's begun. The Iyika hit us with everything they have, even fighting at our strongest. We'll never be able to break through their defense. This is the end. I clutch my chest as we flee.
At this rate, we're going to lose the war. All of Orisha will burn. A few kilometers away, Mother flags us down. She flings her arms around me when I dismount and squeezes me tight.
Thank goodness you're all right.
I wasn't in danger until you attacked. I pull away from her hug. We need to retreat now, or else we're going to lose this war.
Don't worry.
Mother points to another transport in the distance.
Jokoye's forces are coming in. The Iyika end today.
Chapter 53. Zeli.
Emioku, baaye ninumi. My throat scratches raw as magic rattles from my core. Shadows twist from my hands like snakes, lunging toward the 10 soldiers who charge. They go down in one wave, shadows binding them to the jungle's mammoth trees. Mazeli follows with an incantation of his own, raising a giant animation that knocks a dozen more titans unconscious.
We're doing it!
He shouts, smile stretching between his large ears. Across the way, Nal and her tiders drag 5 titans into the gushing river along the sanctuary's trail. They create a whirlpool that drags the soldiers under the water's surface, drowning them as they spin. Mazeli and I pivot, preparing to cast again. Then the monarchy's horn blares.
Ha-woo!
The siren echoes through the rolling valleys, a blare that sounds like death. As the approaching troops come to a stop, the remaining soldiers fall back.
They're retreating!
Kenyon punches his hands up, shooting a stream of fire into the air. The rest of the Magi cheer as the soldiers flee, abandoning their caravans and Magicite bombs. I grab onto a tree root and lift myself up, climbing higher to watch them run. I look past the Magi and wreckage in my path, searching through the dense greens of the jungle. I'm 10 meters off the ground when I feel it. The vibration building in the air. My stomach clenches as I turn, peering into the distance. A single cart rides down the dirt path 4 kilometers away, pulled by 3 snow leoparders. 2 dozen soldiers stand on the wooden transport, arms clasped behind their backs. The general we faced in Chindomble's halls stands in front of them, thick braid falling to her waist. Though each soldier wears golden titan armor, my tattoos hum at the sight of the general. When she and her titans ride past the monarchy's retreating soldiers, it all makes sense. The enemy is not running away from us. They are running away from them.
Retreat! I scream. Get back to the sanctuary!
The Iyika meet me with confused stares as the titans stop their cart a full kilometer away. The soldiers riding on top of it dismount in waves.
What's going on?
Mazeli shouts. I can't speak when the general raises her hands. At her command, the titans form a circle around her. Her eyes glow with silver light as she opens her palms.
She's our center! I yell. She's harnessing the wind!
The vibration in the air transforms to a violent shake. The wind sucks everything forward, pulling at my clothes and the dirt and the leaves. Chaos descends as everyone scrambles back toward the sanctuary. Paws thunder all around us as wild riders gallop, trying to escape the general's attack. Naima uses an incantation to freeze a pack of wild tigerners fleeing from the north, stopping them until the elders and Magi can climb on.
Go!
I shove Bimpe up the beast's striped coat. I try to shout more instructions, but the whipping air swallows my voice. In seconds, I can't even hear myself breathe. A new terror grips my chest as I spur Bimpe's tigerner forward before motioning for Mazeli to take cover. I can't believe my eyes when I see the blade the center forms out of the sky. The attack is unlike anything I've ever seen. Anything I knew could exist in this world. The blade of air hurtles toward us, a massive scythe ripping through the sky.
It's as if she flings a twisting tornado at us like a boomerang. The howling storm shakes the air as it twists toward us. The blade of air tears up the earth beneath it as it flies. The dense jungle clears away. The air turns heavy in its presence. I lunge for Mazeli as it nears the forest. Get down! Sound returns when the blade hits the first mammoth tree in its path. The world explodes around us. A whirlwind of splintered bark and clouds of debris. We crawl under the web of thick roots as massive trees rain from above. I can't see beyond the cyclone of dirt. I can't hear beyond the howling winds. How is she doing this? My body shakes as I try to protect Mazeli. I know centers can absorb the magic of titans around them, but this magnitude is beyond comprehension. Giant trees lie ripped from their roots. The damaged wagons that litter the dirt path are blown to smithereens. The jungle is completely unrecognizable. A whole kilometer of land lies in ruins. Mazeli trembles in my arms as the wind abates with a vacuous hiss. Only a quiet breeze blows through the destruction, passing over the thin stretch of battered land that lies between us and the Titans. It won't be enough to shield us if the center can strike again. For all our scrolls and training, we can't face this kind of power. The center doesn't fight with the magic of mortals. She fights with the might of a god.
Is it over? He asks.
I don't know. From afar, I see the dozen titans she drained for her first attack lying on the ground, their skin wrinkled and their cheeks hollow. They all lie around their general in a ring of death, skeletons protruding from their sunken forms. But despite the fate that awaits them, a new wave of titans circle around their general. The general loads them up like ammunition, preparing to absorb their magic.
One more hit and she'll blow through the sanctuary's walls!
Mazeli's eyes bulge.
We have to take her out!
How? We can't get close! I press my fists to my head when the center's eyes fill with silver light again. The steady hum ripples through the air. The wind begins to howl.
There's one thing we can do.
Mazeli balls his fists, filling his chest with a confidence I know he doesn't have. I step back, looking at the tattoos along my skin. The power of that center is one we can't face. But if we wielded that power ourselves...
It's too big of a risk.
I shake my head. The connection could kill us.
If we don't use it, that center will kill us. We have to protect the Magi, no matter the cost.
The conviction in his big brown eyes brings a calm to the chaos. He's right. We don't have a choice. Our people are behind those walls. My body warms as the magic of the moonstone stirs in my chest. Mazeli's heartbeat starts to bleed into my ears. The violet light of the ashe beneath his skin appears before my eyes. Are you ready? He nods, lacing his fingers with mine. My tattoos glow with golden light as I whisper the ancient command.
Etona Agbarani.
It's like a bolt of lightning crackling in the space between our palms. Mazeli grunts as we're both lifted into the air. Chests arcing toward the sky. Violet light shines from our eyes and our mouths. The same particles of light materialize before our hearts. They stretch forward like ribbons, weaving themselves together as our life forces tether together. The air continues to thin, but I feel the power of Oya in our breath.
It's coming!
Mazeli shouts as our feet land back on the ground. The general's wind swallows all sound in its deafening silence. Trees snap in half as the blade of wind rebuilds. But as the center prepares to release her attack, purple light crackles around our hands.
and me I want Yoti song.
Our incantation rings in the absence of sound.
Chapter 54. Zeli.
It starts with a shake, a shift beneath the earth. The first hill explodes as monstrous animations twist from the dirt. They claw their way out of the ground, each as big as a gorillion. Even at my strongest, I can only summon dozens of animations. In seconds, Mazeli and I create hundreds.
Mokepe inioni.
Veins bulge against our necks as a tide of spirits rises. Dirt rains from their bodies when they charge, a tsunami of animations surging over the land. The center releases her blade, blowing our monstrous animations to smithereens. But it's not strong enough to take out the whole wave. Her wind dies half a kilometer away.
Keep going, I shout.
I feel Mazeli's heart beating in my chest. My body burns as our ashe bleeds together. The magic of the moonstone binds our souls, creating a force unlike any I've commanded before. Animations crawl onto the carts, ripping the soldiers apart. The Titan's screams ring as our soldiers attack. But the longer we push, the greater the strain, the more I feel our pain.
Zeli!
Mazeli's voice scratches through his clenched teeth. His screams turn sharp as strips of skin peel away from his arms. The powerful ashe rips through our veins. It burns through us both. But despite how I want to let go, the window center still stands.
Just once more, I shout. Emi, I want your tison.
I grit my teeth against the pain. More hills explode into animations as we chant. The power of Oya races through our veins. New spirits rise like mountains, closing the distance in mere seconds. The general wails as our animations descend upon her. An explosion of silver light flickers from beneath their earthly bodies as the general falls. When the animations move away, her corpse lies over the wreckage like a rag doll.
We got them!
I turn to Mazeli.